Okay, Mase, Tafshin, Ayin, Tes. Okay. Alright, this is the beginning of the Parsha. Ela Mase B'nei Yisrael, right, these are the travels of the Jewish people. Asha Yotzu Me'eretz Yisrael, and they left Meretz Yitzrayim, Litzivo Sam, their hosts, Biad Moshe V'Aaron, in the hands of Moshe V'Aaron. Vayichtov Moshe, Moshe wrote, Lamas Ehem, right? Motza Ehem, Lamas Ehem. Right, what does that mean? So the way we're going to see it here, right? Motza Ehem, to be Yotze, is to go out. They're going out to their travels. Is going out from a place to their travels, al pi Hashem, right? By the word of Hashem, the ve'ela mas'ehem lo'tza'ehem, right? And here, these are the travels, right, to the places they're going to leave. It's like a very, very cumbersome pasuk, right? Here it says, mo'tza'ehem lo'tza'ehem, al pi Hashem, and here it says, mas'ehem lo'tza'ehem. So again, what, the fact that it's reversed, I mean, this, the whole pasuk is strange. It says Vayichtov Moshe. Moshe wrote it. Like, good morning. Like, I understand Moshe wrote the whole Torah, right? So why are you making a point saying Moshe wrote it down?
See if you can hit the lever up. So anything really that doesn't happen to us that we're deserving of happening to us because we're not connecting all the time.
We're going to see.
Well, considering to our previous...
Right, but it was our previous conversation, right.
Right. Something that we could be deserving when nothing happens.
Okay, so let's see. It's a very unusual, what do you call it? This whole pasuk is, of course, a Moshe wrote it. It's still what do you call it?
Excellent, thanks.
That's pretty cool. That's the first thing, and also just this whole double terminology is very, very bizarre. Motzeim l'maseim, maseim l'motzeim. So we talked about it in different years in different ways, but I think we'll have a very interesting approach over here. Rashi says, "Lama nichtav l'masel se'ilu." And what are we gaining out of knowing they went from here and they stopped here, and then they left there and went to the next place, and then they left there and went to the next place, and went there from the next place? It says, "Lama nichtav l'masel se'ilu, lo'odia chasodav shel mokom," to teach the kindness, the acts of kindness of the Creator. She'afal pi she'gozer aleim l'tal t'lamu ha'niyam b'midbar, even though He decreed upon them that they're going to travel, wander around the desert. Lo tovar she'hayu na'im ha'mitultalim. Yeah, the masala masa kolar bayim shon. Don't think that what do you call it, they were constantly on the move for all 40 years, right? Lo haislem menucha, they never had any rest. Shari ein kan el arbayim ushtayim masos. There were only 42 masos here, and then Rashi makes a cheshbon showing how some of them were first year, right, going from place to place, and then afterwards, what do you call it? Afterwards, there were some where they went backwards, what do you call it? After the death of Aaron, etc. Comes out the Lamaisa, mm-hmm. Right? They only had 20 significant moves, right? Right? During 38 years. Because like, some of them happened all at once. They went place to place all in one batch because they were running away, etc. Comes out they really only had 20 significant moves in 38 years. So not so bad. Not so bad. And that's to teach Nimsa Shakol Shmoda.
How many times are you moving the last 20?
That's true, I understand, but this was a punishment. Remember, they were in a state of being punished. right? Even though we're being punished, nonetheless, it wasn't like Hashem had them moving day in, day out. It wasn't God forbid, like a death march.
Well, they were in the desert alone was a punishment.
Okay, I'm greedy. We're not saying there wasn't a punishment, but even though the punishment was meted out in a fashion that was, what do you call, that was a little bit more bearable. Right? Lo nasel esim masos. Zem yisod from Rav Moshe Darshan. So that's what Rav Moshe Darshan wants to point out, that even though they were getting a punishment, and it was a gzeir upon them that they were going to, what do you call, they were going to die in the desert. Nonetheless, recall they made only 20 major moves in the 38 years. Fine. That's the way he learned it. And that's to teach Hakaras HaTov, right, to recognize, right, even in the midst of, what he called, of difficult situations, but it could have been worse. It could have been worse. Baruch Hashem wasn't worse. It's an important attitude, right? It's an important attitude that when God forbid, we have difficult times, it could have been worse. I shouldn't complain, right? This is b'chesed. This is b'chesed, right? Sometimes, you know, even if we're conscious that Hashem is giving us a little bit of a patch, so there are two extreme reactions. One extreme reaction is, I don't deserve it. You're not fair, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the other reaction, which is also unhealthy, perhaps not as unhealthy as the first one. The unhealthy, I deserve it, I'm garbage, you're not interested in me anymore. You've tossed me into, what do you call it, into the bin. Right? That's a derech that we're familiar with.
Without anger.
What? So that's the first one. The first is anger. I don't deserve this. Why are you doing this to me? Right? So we call the two unhealthy reactions. Either we call it, you're not fair, that's anger, or the other one is what do you call it, I'm getting a punishment that shows that I'm worthless, I'm garbage, what do you call it, and if you cast me away. Rav Moshe Darshan says, don't look at it like that, right? They were getting a punishment. It was clear they were getting a punishment, right? The Xavier is upon them. They were going to die in the desert. But nonetheless, you should focus and look at the chasarim that Hashem did. He didn't slap us around, what he called, for day, every day, move on, march on, march on, march on, march on. 20 major, what he called, passages, yeah, within 38 years. That's Rav Moshe Darshan.
Two a year.
So that really is pshat. In other words, it's pshat in that, in other words, you can analyze, right? I didn't bring the whole Rashi over here. You can look and record all the things in the Chumash. You see where they went to. You see how long they were there. You figure it out. And the pshat tells you that's what it caught. That they're the mice. There was a silver lining even in the midst of the cloud. Right? That's that you do in a b'dek pshat. Rabbi Tanchuma tells us a drash. Darash bo drasha. What's a drash? We know the different levels in Torah. There's pshat, right? There's remez, there's drash, and there's sod, right? Pardes. Pshat and remez, drash and sod. Pshat, right, is what you call, is what you see, mm-hmm. right? When you want to go deeper in the world of pshat, then that's called drash. Why? What does it mean, drash? Because you're doresh. Lidrosh means you're searching for something. Like it says, if you lose something, right, you watch, let's say somebody, you find something that belongs to somebody. You watch it until, says the pasuk, adrosh achicha oso, until he comes searching for it. He comes searching for it. That's lidrosh. So therefore also, drash is also searching for something deeper. It's not something that you see necessarily immediately in the pshat, but you're searching for something deeper. Remez is a hint. Mm-hmm. Sod, right, is a secret. Is a secret. Right? Remez is really cool. It's on a different level. It's already more like we might even talk about, let's say, in terms of Hasidic things or Ramazim in the Psukim, hints to things. And sod are things that you don't see at all. Recall the Chazal teaches there's a hidden secret over here. You wouldn't see it at all. Right, necessarily, without them telling you there's a secret here. So that's why it's written pardes. Because what pshat is to drash, that's what remez is to sod. And there's the levels, right? when we go on the basic level, you go from pshat to drash, and in the world of hidden Torah, you go from remez to sod. So therefore, the beginning level is always pshat and remez, and the ending level is drash and sod. That's why it's pardes. Pshat, remez, drash, sod. And it's not that you go from pshat to remez, and from remez to drash, and from drash to sod, right? It's what he calls the pshat and remez are what he called are the foundation levels, each one in their particular category. Remez is to sod, like pshat is to drash, pardes. So in any event, Rabbi Tanchuma has a drash over here.
Taken from...
Right, recorded pshat. Right, Ted, right. In other words, deeper, searching for something deeper than what the pshat is saying. It built upon the concept of the recorded pshat, but going deeper. What does he say? Rabbi Tanchuma darsh bo drasha acheres. Mashal amelech.
Drasha acheres from Rashi?
Right, recorded drasha acheres than what Rashi bought from Rav Moshe Adarshan. My first Rashi brought me from Rabbi Moshe Darshan.
That was kind.
Right, well, that recall there was a kindness over here. It could have been worse, right? Now Rabbi Tanchuma is Darsh Bo Drasha Cheres. Mashal Lemelech Shaya Bno Chole. What is it comparable to? To a king whose son was ill. V'olichol Amokom Rochok L'raposo. And he took him to a distant place to heal him. Might have to go to a specialist, right? Kevin Shayu Chosrin, when they were finished with the refuah, right? He's Chil Aviv Mona Kolamasos. The father went over, these were all the stops we made on the way to the specialist, right? Amarlo, and he said, Kan Yoshanu, here we slept. Kan, right, called Hukarnu, here we were cold, right? Kan Chashashta Es Roshcha, here your head was hurting you, right, etc. The idea being, this is another level. I apologize. This is what he called, this is Imo Anochi Betzara. Now Hashem is saying, here we got cold. Here we slept. And I was with you all the time. I was with you all the time. In the midst of what he called of your suffering, right? In other words, for those people, especially for those people who say, what he called, oh, you know, Hashem abandoned me, right? Abandoned me. Here the drash is addressing, according to Rabbi Tanchuma, no, what do you mean? I was with you in your suffering. I was there, as the king describes to his son, as they're returning home from the specialist. And that's what's happening over here. The Jewish people have now finished their 40 years in the Midbar, right? They're going to go into Eretz Israel. This is the end of the whole story, right? Sefer Dvarim goes over, very cool, just before they enter Eretz Israel, goes over certain dinim, right, certain things, very cool, etc. But this is the last story here. This is the basic last story over here. So they're going over all the places, right? Says the drash of Rabbi Tanchuma, why is he going over it? Because Hashem wants to tell you we're going to go over it, but you know why? Because I want to tell you, I was with you all those times. I was with you all those times. I was with you. Imanoch mitzara. So it's what he called. It's almost as though the first approach, the pshat, yeah, maybe addresses the person who thinks, right, oh, Hashem hates me. He's what he called. He's not being fair to me. And that approach says, no, don't say that. Don't say that. Because what he called lemaisa, it could have been worse. Don't say that. Don't say you've been cruel. If you were cruel, could have made it worse than that. Right. The second shot is for those people who are saying, you know, I stink, right? And Hashem has abandoned me. He's abandoned me because I stink. And what's Hashem saying? I was with you. I was with you. Kaviyachol, I was suffering with you. Like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that even a Rasha suffers. Right? Hashem says, I suffer even with the Rasha. Because he has to go through this pain. Okay.
So now we're starting to save the Devarim.
Yeah, next week. Okay. All right. So that's really cool. That's Rabbi Moshe Darshan and Rabbi Tanchuma. Ramban says, "V'hosif harav b'mor nevuchim." The Ramban, right? Ramban brings from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim.
It basically sounds like Tanchumi and Rashi is the same thing, but Tanchuma is explaining it a little bit better.
It's a different level. It's a different level. The first thing is, think of it attunably, right? Something goes wrong. So the first thing, what he caught, okay, it could have been worse. Right? It could have been worse. Someone ripped off the Toyota thing on the front of the car. Right? Someone ripped it off. Ugh. Well, it's a kapara. Baruch Hashem, it could have been worse. Right? I needed a kapara. Hashem gave it to me. But he called it the chief kapara. Someone ripped off the thing. It's an annoyance. It's nothing terrible. Right? Something to get bent out of shape for. The other thing, right? Let's say something even more severe happens, God forbid. But I feel, because I'm so lowly, Hashem has abandoned me. He says, no, I didn't abandon you. I'm with you. Your pain is my pain. Shekhinah suffers with us. Right? The Shekhinah suffers with us because the Shekhinah's place in the world, it rides upon us. It rides upon us. So we suffer, Kav Yachol, the Shekhinah suffers. How do we understand that? I don't know how to understand that. But just like I don't understand how Hashem can be totally omniscient, He knows everything, and yet we have free will, just like I don't understand that, right? So I could also know that it exists, there's something called the Tsar of the Shekhinah. He suffered with us. The Mor Nevuchim, that the Ramban brings here, he says, why is this, what do you call, what's the Toelis? Lomar HaTzorach, what's the purpose of mentioning all these places, right? He says, "Lomar hatzorech lahazkir hamasoyim godol meod." It's very, very important. Ki anisi va'osos anasos hayu amitios l'choro ehem. The Jewish people experienced miracles in these places. They survived in these places. These are places which a person couldn't naturally survive there for an extended period of time. There's no water. There's no vegetation. There's nothing there. There's nothing to eat and there's nothing to drink. Right? But they survived. They had man. They had the be'er. That I'm going to have cover to protect them from the beating sun. Ach ba'asid you dvarim b'shmua v'yachziv ha'shomea. In the future, there's not going to be clouds of glory in the desert. In the future, there's not going to be Mon or Bear Miriam in the desert. And people are going to say, ha, it's a cock and bull story, like Holocaust denial. This happened? Nah! It's really cool. This is a fairy tale. Right? Therefore, the Torah went and wrote, right?
This is what's happening.
Right, the Torah wrote, "Ve'osus haTorah niflosea atzumos amidas Yisrael amidbar boim shana." The Torah went and wrote down all the places. These are places. What do you call it? That, at least in what do you call those days. Maybe now we're not so familiar with it. But in subsequent generations over there, they would call it, this is Kadesh, and this is what he called. This is what he called Rishma, and this is what he called the Verbes, and the next place, right? And they say, look at those places. That's what the Jews traveled through. How did they survive there? It was a miracle that they survived there. So you think about it now. We have in front of us three approaches to remembering the difficult events of our traveling through the Midbar. First one is, we got a punishment, but it could have been worse. Second one is, Hashem was suffering with us. The third one is focusing not on the suffering at all, but look at the miracles we survived. What a miracle we survived in these places. Look at the chesed that Hashem was showing us. It almost builds in crescendo, right? It's like when you meet sometimes Holocaust survivors, right? And you know they went through Gehenna like 1,000 times over. And all they talk about is the chasadim of Hashem.
Yeah.
And it's like not normal. Mm-hmm. You look at them and you stand in wonderment. Like, huh? That's the only thing they can talk about. They lost their families. They lost everything that belonged to them. They lost their world. And all I talk about is, you remember David Levy's father, Olav Shalom, right? So I used to think, right? He always had a smile on his face.
Yeah.
He always had a smile on his face. So he was from Canada. So I used to think he was really cool. He was born in Canada, very nice, wonderful man, really cool. He's got, you know, children at Tzaddikim, very cool, it's a great thing, very cool. And then when he was sitting Shiva for him, I went to him, he says, no, he was born in Romania.
He was in the Holocaust.
Yeah. And what he called, and he says, David told me he didn't even know when the yahrzeit of all his family members were. They took him away, he never even knew what day they died on, right? And he always, I remember when he was at a, we would see him, first we had this perpetual smile on his face. And then whenever he was like at a sim question, he would think to himself, Chasei Hashem ki lo samnu ki lo chalu rakamah. That was his song. The Chasodim of Hashem have never finished, right? His rachamim is endless. He lost everything he had. He's got a perpetual smile on his face. And really cool, he's singing about the Chasodim of Hashem. That's already another madrega. Listen, a madriga. What a way to live life.
Constantly focused.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness gracious. What a way to live life. Something to emulate. Anyway, so then the Ramban says, we name Michrav Masos Mitzvah Hashem Hi Min HaTayim Emin Skorim O Mizulasan Inyan Lo Nizgal Lanu Sodo. Right? There's a secret here, says the Ramban.
We're in this
book. In these recordings, Moshe, Hashem told Moshe to write down all of these places, right? Because there is a sod, right? That we don't know. We don't know what the sod is in the travels from one place to the next. So you'd say, what's the purpose of that? You're going to write down a sod that we don't know, right? That from each travel. So what we don't know, I think, is we don't know specifically, right? What is the secret of the travel from point A to point B, or from point B to point C? We don't know specifically what was the sod.
We can guess too.
But remnants. Generally,
remnants.
What?
Remnants.
So the Rav Tzadok, says, right? He says,
don't get too far advanced. Let's go over here. Somewhere.
Yeah, okay, this is it. This is
okay.
He says what the idea was. Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen.
So we'll finish the Ramban.
Right, okay. So in other words, the Ramban says it's a sod. What the specific sod was in each travel from one place to the other, I don't know. And he says, we don't know either. He says he doesn't know either. But Rabbi Tzadok says, in a global sense, what was the concept that was taking place over here? And I think, you'll get a lot of mileage out of this.
And who's Rabbi Tzadok?
Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen. He was, he lived at the end of the 19th and the beginning of the 20th century. He was a gon, right? A gon adir, right? He was a sort of person. They used to tell the same story about the Maril Diskin also. If you asked him how many leaves there are on a tree, he could look at it and tell you how many leaves there were. So then you say, how are you going to figure out, right, Claude? So then he you could take off some leaves, and when he caught asking how many nights, he took off two, he took off three. He would know. He was a Gaon Adir. Anyway, he was one of the great Hasidic thinkers. Initially, he wasn't Hasidish. Mm-hmm. He once went to the Mei Shiloach, right? The Mei Shiloach, that's the Ishbitzer. He went there for a Shalashudis, and he listened to him speaking, and he was so overcome by what he was saying, he became a Hasidic rabbi. He's been the rabbi of Lublin. He was a rabbi in Lublin.
You've been to his kevin when you
traveled? Yeah.
What country is he
in? He's in Lublin, in Poland. Poland. Anyway, so what he called, so he says a very interesting thing. He says as follows. He says, if you look at the pasuk over here, right? Yeah, here it says, "Vayichta Moshe es motzaeim l'maseim al pi Hashem." Right? They left a certain place l'maseim to travel from there. In other words, he says there are 42 stops. He's not the first one to bring up this idea, but he just elaborates on it very beautifully. There are 42 stops in the desert that they made. Those 42 stops are parallel to the name of Hashem, the name, the 42 letter name of Hashem. There's a 42-letter name of Hashem, and that's...
Yeah, in this one part of the pasuk?
In other words, every one of these stops is parallel to another letter in the 42-letter name of Hashem. What is that 42-letter name of Hashem? That's this. Forty-two, three-letter names that form the name of Hashem. Look at this. This is what he called Anabachoach. This is the name of Hashem.
This whole paragraph.
This is what he called. There's 6 words in every line. And there's what he called 7 lines. It's 42 letters. That's why at the end you say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vav. He said, this is the shame of Hashem. It's the shame of Hashem. And this letter of this shame of Hashem, Mem Beis, he said, is the name of Hashem, which is indicative of a person's rise and growth from one level to the next. To the Shema should rise higher, or the idea of Pardes, like we were talking about before, Pshat. Remez, Drash, Sod, going higher and higher, right? This is the name of Hashem that's associated with it. So he said there are 42 stops, connected the 42, what he called, words here, right? Right? 6, what he called, words in every, representing.
42 stops, one word.
Right? And it's 6 in every line, right? It's 6 days of the week. 6 stops, I should say, yeah, every day, right, and times 7, it's 42.
I know 42 times 6 times 7.
Okay, I wasn't trying to be difficult.
I got a third grade education.
Okay, that's not how you're better at math than I am. Now, fine.
So each one of those lines describes the travel?
Right, but we don't know how it describes it. But he's saying it's reflect, that's the name. So he says, really what it was, is that every place that you reached, that's what he says, that's the pshat, right? Motza'eyem lamasa'eyem. Right? Hashem, Moshe wrote down the place they were coming from, level A, right? And now you're going to travel based upon your leaving place, right? This place where you were on a level of level A. You're now, that's Al Pi Hashem. You're meant to accomplish something now as you travel, right? As you travel. You know, every place is like, feel like Shabbos. Every place that you're at, that's the resting place. And now that's a given level that you got. And now comes next week. Where are you going to travel with the Kedusha that you received, the Madreg you received on the previous Shabbos? Right, and those are tools. You get your tools on Shabbos.
From place to place.
Right, that's what he calls it. Every place was what he calls was like Shabbos. You get your tools here. You get your Madrega here. Now comes the week. 6 days of the week. What are you going to do with it? Build. Then you come to the next place. It's a new Shabbos. A new Menucha. Right? Now you get a new Madrega. Now you're going to enter into the next week. What are you going to do with it? So the motzaeim lamaseim is al pi Hashem. In other words, that's the charge. Okay, you're starting this madrega, and now you're going to go into the week with all of its nisyonos, with all of its difficulties, with all its ups and downs, right, etc. What are you going to do with it? Ve'ei lamaseim lamotzaeim. And then, right, what you actually did with it until you came to a new place to leave from. In other words, if it had been fully experienced, fully taken advantage of, then both places would say Al Pi Hashem, right? The Yisra Moshe would say Elam Aseim Al Pi Hashem. Here's what you can do. The Elam Aseim Lo Tzeim, and these are your travels to reach a new place. It doesn't say Al Pi Hashem because they weren't necessarily 100% successful, right? They weren't. Had they been 100% successful at every of their travels, that would have been the end of the story.
Leaving up the Eretz Yisrael.
Right, that would have been the end of the story. Moshe wouldn't have gotten to Eretz Yisrael. That would have been the Tikkun HaKloli. He says, recall, then we, nowadays, as it were, right, who knows how many travels we have to go to get one letter of that name, right? Who knows how many we have to travel in order to get one letter of that name?
I know you're not going to answer this question.
So why are you going to ask it?
For the sake of answering, asking you.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
I don't suppose you can.
Okay.
I guess the drusha and the rimas and the sod.
Yeah.
Is that, well, you won't know the meaning of each stop.
Right, right. Right, right. You're not, see, that's what you're saying. That's right. You don't know. But you have to know you're on a travel.
No,
and you are. You are, you are going from resting spot to resting spot. And you, what do you call it? And Hashem has given you the potential, as it were, to extract the full oath of that, what do you call it, of that Shemen base, as you make your travels from rest spot to rest spot, etc. Right?
Just like life.
Right. Life, but you. That's it. And he says, what do you call it, through life, through our personal life, right? Through our communal life, we're on a journey.
We must extract our meanings from
right.
journeys.
Right. And he says, and what do you call it, so now, so who knows how many stops we have to make in order to get one letter, right? Right. It, potentially you can get the whole letter in one stop, but what do you call it, but if you don't, if it's not, if you don't finish the job properly, so you got to keep on going in order to finally get that letter, right, etc. When a person has, yeah, gone through all the stops, he doesn't need Olam Hazeh anymore. That's it. Then he leaves. He then leaves. Right? But he does say there is something, he does say something very interesting, there is something called Olamcha Tira Bechayecha. Right? If a person is really a tzaddik, right? And again, this is, these are cheshbonos of Hashem, how it works, who knows? Go know how it works. Right? But what do you call it? But if a person is really what do you call it, tzaddik, then he experiences like with the avos. Sometimes they it says about them, olamcha tira bechayecha. You should see your future here, still already in this world. In other words, where a person is so plugged in, right? It's not like they say to him, okay, fine, you know, okay, you finished your usage of Olam Hazeh, now you can go to what do you call it, to the next world. You can already begin to taste it in this world. You can taste it in this world. It's sort of like what he called, like the Zohar.
Shabbos.
Right? Just like Shabbos. You taste it. So too, your life can be like that. Just like it says by Yaakov Avinu. It says by Yechi Yaakov, Be'eretz Yisrael, Shvas, or Shana, Say Chazal, he experienced Me'ein Olam Abba, even in the worst place in Mitzrayim. But he experienced it already there. Olam Chatira Bechayecha.
People go to Thailand.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Right. And right, he says over here. This is Tzora Moor. He was an exile from Spain, right? Through the Inquisition, he fled Spain. And so he says that that's what we're experiencing.
He has his own exile. He has his own journey.
Right, his own journey. Right, Bidiyuk. Right.
This is right. A very typical Seelish
right.
point of view.
Right.
Maybe he has to be more lifisher, you know, down to earth. And
thank you. I appreciate your attempt to what you call it,
make
to,
it humorous.
Make to bring my spirits up and all that. That's really good.
Okay, what did he say?
Okay, so he what do you call it? Basically what we were talking about. He also deals with the idea. He just let's see. He just points out something very interesting. He says, like, if you look over here,
mm-hmm.
He doesn't explain them all. But like he says over here, right, this is called Aleph Beis Gimel Yud Tes Abiktatz Ana Bechoach Dulas Simincha Tatir Tzurah. That's
first
day one. Day two, because this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? This is day two. Day two is Kabel Rinas Amcha Sagvenu Tarenu Nora, and that's cross Satan. Tear up the satan. He says, right, what's the remnants of it? He doesn't explain all of them. Tear up the satan, because on the second day is the day of what he called of the creation of Gehenna. Right? The second day of creation. That's why he doesn't say Kitov on that day. division between heaven and earth was created then, which is gives us the opportunity of free will, but on the other hand, it also gives the opportunity for the Yetzirah to get in there as well. That's why it says the remnant on the second day, right, is cross Satan. Tear up the Yetzirah, as it were. Tear up the Yetzirah. It's very interesting. So he says over here, he says, Kein nir shenichtavu kanam. This is the last paragraph over here. Elo masos b'shem Hashem. Right? It's written over here at the end of the Chumash. Because really, like I said, Sefer Dvarim is the closure. Right? He calls Sefer Dvarim is what he calls Sefer Dvarim is already beginning with a Chazara. It's Mishnah Torah, repeat the Torah, etc. Here at the end of the very end of Bidbar, Kein nir shekosu kan elo masos b'shem Hashem. It's written over here at the end of Sefer Bamidbar. Hashvishenu shoresh ubitachon gadol. That we should have a deep, deep bitachon, begula sida, in the future geula. Ubeinin atzaras ha'ovras aleinu. And concerning all the tzaras that we call that wash over us. Ulechazek yadayim rafos, and to strengthen weakened hands. Levish Hashem tzofe, because Hashem, what he called, is peering down, umabit, and examining atzof kol adoros, to the end of all the generations. Vara Golios Shiavru Aleinu, and he saw already, he knows what he called all the tzaras that Klai Yisrael is going to, what he called, have to endure. Befrata Golos Arvia Chazak, and specifically what he called the last Golos, the Golos we've been in since the destruction of the Second Temple. Because of Elo Masos, Lahavtichenu, and he wrote down these Masos to encourage us to give us faith, Bitachon Godol Vechazak, to give us strength. Even though we're going to go through difficult times, Hashem yichayenu v'yotzeinu migolosin. Hashem, in the end, will bring us back to life and extract us from our golos. Just like he did at the time of Egypt. So, that's the closure of the Chumash. The closure of the Chumash is to remind us, as we call, as we are launched into the what he called the long dark tunnel of time. We have to know that just like Hashem extracted us out of Mitzrayim and brought us to Gula, then so too in our days. I wanted to mention one more point, and this is very useful, what he called, that Rav Tzarek talked about, right? He talked about over here the idea of the Pasuk, right? We already discussed this concept of going from station to station. It was encapsulated in the two psukim in Parshas Baloscha that we say every time we take the Torah out of the Aron, and every time we put the Torah back into the Aron, Vayhi ben Soha Aron, Vayomer Hashem, Kum Hashem, V'yafutzo Evecho, V'yanusa misan echa mipanecha. Right? Says, what does that mean? What does that mean? Kum Hashem, rise up Hashem, v'yafutsu, and to scatter, right? By the enemies, right? And then he says, misanecha. Kum Hashem, v'yafutsu, v'yafutsu, v'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. And your misanecha.
What does that mean?
So now what does that mean? Sonecha means your enemies. Misanecha, he says, means those who cause you to hate. They cause hatred. The Yetzirah. That's what he called. Those are Misanecha. So that's what whenever he called, we've been taking the Torah out. Kum Hashem, right? We say the Torah is coming out. Kum Hashem, via futso evecha. Scatter our enemies, via nusim misanecha mipanecha. Right? Maybe the Oivim might be the ones who really call our enemies, etc. But the Misanecha are the ones who cause us, God forbid, to distance ourselves from Hashem, the Yetzirah, the Kina, the Taiva, the Kavod, all the things that want to distance us, Misanecha, who cause hatred. Uvenucho Yomar, Shuva Yisrael, right? And when we report, and when you come to rest, like Shabbos, right? Or any time a person has gone from one stage to the next stage, that's what he calls a state of repose, of tranquility, and then the Shekhinah rests upon us. So that's what we always have to see ourselves always in, what he calls, always in a journey. We start off, right? He says that's the idea. If Klai Yisrael kept two Shabbos, so the Gula would come. What does that mean? In other words, I start off over here. I take advantage of the whole week in order to build, what he calls, so that I reach a new arrival point the next week. And that new arrival point, I don't just sit on my haunches. I use that as a launching pad into the next week. Right? So what he called that always, those are the two Shabbosos, right? He called to take what I've had already now and to build upon it, and to build upon it in such a way that I have a new level to reach at the end of the week.
That's why you stop.
Right, that's what he called. That's the closure of what he called of Sefer Bamidbar.
Beautiful.